Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
This is the Broadway Boys Podcast with the Hockey Podcast Network, and we are back with Season 5, Episode 51, as the New York Rangers have been taking care of business against the top dogs in the East. And yeah, it's one of those things where I have no idea what this team is, because I was fully expecting a couple losses here, and we go into Boston, we get a win, we come back and we have to play Florida at home, we get a win, and yeah, it's just... besides a couple of hiccups here and there, everything's good on the Ranger front. So I have to start this podcast with Andy. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing real good. Happy to be back with you on the podcast. I know it's been a little hard for us to lock one down together, but it's been, much kind of like the Rangers, just a lot of difficulties and things to deal with, but handling it with aplomb, and the Rangers are surely handling it with aplomb. Like you said, I think we spoke about it last time we were together, that we, with this tough stretch coming up for them, or that they're going through now between back-to-backs, and we would have been real happy with winning 4 out of 2, but the Rangers are just, they're saying, oh yeah, we know we have some of the toughest teams in the NHL on our schedule, but we'll just beat them all for the most part. And obviously there's some outliers there. They obviously dropped that one, a tough one to the Jets, and they dropped one to the Red Hot Lightning right now. But other than that, everyone else, Panthers, Bruins, Hurricanes, you know, and even tough other teams, like, you know, teams like the Devils, who are a hard out for anyone. And it's just, they just keep winning. And I mean, what's the old quote? You are what your record says you are. And, you know, you have some other teams around that are fighting off for those final spots in the East, that they win a game dominantly and they lose the next game. Well, the Rangers are what I think, as of right now, they're the best team in the NHL, at least from a points perspective wise, and point percentage wise, and win percentage wise. And I think they are what they are, what their schedule says they are. They're a team that they're not going to win them all, but they can get standout, stellar comeback performances from players when they need it. Adam Fox and Artemi Panarin have saved the Rangers bacon a few times in the past few games. But that's what you have players like that for, when you need someone to step up. And honestly, every game they've played have been close. I don't think any of the games they've won, I've said, wow, they really didn't deserve that one, or they eked that one out, or whatever. You know what I mean? It was either a close match between two teams, just kind of playing playoff style hockey, especially with all the tough contenders in the East they've played recently. And, you know, and that's peppered in with some pretty dominant wins, like, you know, the one they had over the Islanders and the Penguins, and, you know, but I mean, they still have tough tests in front of them. You know, you have the Avalanche and a few, obviously the Flyers next, but they're going to have the Avalanche coming up. They'll have, after that, actually, it looks pretty easy, at least on paper. But, you know, some of those teams, you really do have to beware of those teams that have nothing to play for down the stretch, because they just want to take out their frustrations of not making the playoffs. You know what I mean? So they can still pop off on you. But injuries aside, and I guess we'll see if the Rangers have even more injuries after this last one, it's been this next man up mentality. And even when they're rotating players and sitting players, it just seems like they're not shaken. And it's been pretty remarkable to see.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that's a testament to coaching, first and foremost. Goaltending has been, you know, really good, especially in this stretch. You know, Igor obviously didn't have his best game in the middle of the season. I think some people were doubting him. But once he found his game, I think it almost calmed the whole team down and got them into a different rhythm. And, you know, I think with the coaching style and, you know, position play and taking care of responsibility in your own zone, you know, it's funny when the New York Rangers are playing their best hockey and they give up a goal. It's like so obvious of why that goal happened. You know, there's a clear breakdown. You know, this person was going for a change and they shouldn't have. It's not like, well, we're just all lost in our zone for 5 minutes at a time and they broke us down and they scored a goal. It's always like, oh, this man missed his coverage, like clear as day, easy fix. And, you know, that's a good thing, especially against some of these better teams that, you know, it's not like you're getting hemmed in and totally outplayed. And of course, you're going to have, you know, shifts and 5 minute spans and even periods at a time where, you know, most of the play is controlled by the other team. But the fact that the Rangers have never really been beaten in a full 60 minutes, like there hasn't been a team where you could say the Rangers never had a chance. You know, they may lose two periods, so to speak, out of three, but, you know, they never for a full 60 minutes have, you know, have had their doors blown off. I mean, you can maybe make the argument that the Tampa game got a bit, you know, crazy, but even that game, I thought there were moments that the Rangers had, you know, that just didn't go their way. And, you know, it just, you know, sometimes it is just not your night. So, yeah, I think overall this whole span of, you know, the last maybe 10 games, I thought the Rangers have been really good. And, you know, I like the fact that we're getting some better play out of our star players. I like the fact that everyone who's been expected to step up has stepped up, especially on the back end. You know, I think Gustafsson has been better. I think, you know, Schneider and Miller have been better, you know, and, you know, I know we spoke about it last podcast, but like, it really is the elephant in the room. Like, does anybody really want Trouba back? I should even say, do we want Trouba back playing a top four, you know, defensive pairing, you know, position, and maybe put him on the bottom pair? So I want your thoughts on that first.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think we all understand what's going on here and the fact that despite his struggles this season at times, the Rangers still have a good record with Trouba in the lineup. He hasn't been up to his standard, I would assume, you know, or at least what Ranger fans are hoping from him. That being said, I mean, he's obviously going to slot back into the lineup. And do I think they need him necessarily if he's going to play at the level he was playing at? Probably not. But that being said, I guess there is something to be said about playoff hockey and big bodies and clearing the crease and the physical element he brings. You know what I mean? Because it's one thing to say Zach Jones is killing it right now, but will he continue to kill it in the playoffs? And it's hard to know. But all I know is the Rangers have played plenty of playoff style matchups recently, and Zach Jones has looked more than up to the task. The Rangers defensively have been stout the last few games, and I mean, there are two defensemen who have struggled most this season have been Lindgren and Trouba. They're both out of the lineup, and the Rangers are playing some of their best defensive hockey of the year right now, you know, with Chad Ruedel, who is just picked up as a seventh defenseman, and Zach Jones, who is seen as a puck-moving yet undersized defenseman. But lo and behold, they're both holding their spots down, and ever since putting Keandre and Braden Schneider together, they look pretty dominant at 5-on-5 as a pairing. And Fox is just balling right now, so you can almost put anyone with him. So when Trouba comes back, I mean, because he's coming back, and unfortunately that means that, you know, when everyone is healthy, that Zach Jones is going to have to sit. But I don't know, man. It's so tough. It's just because obviously it feels like the way Jones is playing, it's, you know, he's an NHL defenseman now, which is huge. You know that, oh, he could offer something for this team. And if this stint has changed Chris Drury's mind on what he's going to do with Zach Jones, if like he's like, I was going to get rid of him, now he's like, oh, hold on, we have something here, it might change your thought process. But, you know, I know he leaves the lineup stuff to Laviolette and Trouba. There's the added wrinkle that Trouba is your captain. You know what I mean? So you can't sit him. I mean, I guess you can, but it's one of those things that it would honestly, it's like not, him being hit ready and healthy to play and them not sitting him would probably not sit very well with the locker room, which is for us as fans is frustrating because you want them to ice the best roster, possible. But there is something to be said about, you would hope at least this opens Laviolette's eyes to say, hey, look, Keandre and Schneider are my pairing, you know, second to first pairing in the future. The future is now, it seems like. So, yes, Trouba comes back in, but he's going to play on the third pair with Gustafson, or, you know, especially when Lindgren gets back. Or, hell, in a perfect world, maybe you do Fox and Gustafson,
yep,
Keandre and Schneider, and then you take the two guys who've struggled and you put Lindgren and Trouba together. And have the Honey Badger pair, you know, just have two guys with a burr up their ass, giving them easy minutes that they can just punish lesser competition. That seems like a win-win for everybody, right? You know,
yeah. But, and Trouba's going to get his power play time,
yeah.
You know, because he does, he does have a gift offensively. I do think, you know, he's got a better offensive touch than he's given credit for, but
absolutely,
defensively, he's a liability at times, you know.
Yeah, he gets his defense gets overrated, but his offense is underrated.
Yeah, and, you know, Trouba offensively is a guy that, you know, likes to shoot the puck and, you know, throw the pucks on net and, you know, come playoff time, that's, you know, an asset that you certainly have, because how many times do you see in the playoffs that you just throw the puck on net and, you know, good things happen. And, you know, you even saw it against the Florida Panthers where, you know, Panarin wasn't the sexiest shot in the world, but he gets it off, gets it on goal, and it hits off, you know, both defenders and into the net it goes. And the Rangers were able to tie the game up very quickly. You know, it's doing the little things and just having a hockey sense and, you know, having an offensive touch and the ability to get the shots off quick, hard, and low from the point is, you know, certainly, you know, I think Trouba's biggest asset. So, yeah, he's obviously in the lineup, but where in the lineup 5-on-5, I think it's probably, you know, in the Rangers' best interest to keep those minutes a little bit, you know, light, especially down the line, you know, until we get to the playoffs. And let's see how we do in the playoffs. Let's see who our matchup is. Let's see, you know, the style of the team that we're playing against. And, you know, yeah, there's a lot to look at. So to make a decision, you know, a definite decision, would be foolish on our part. So, Andy, any more thoughts on Trouba?
Yeah, I mean, you pretty much summed it up. It's that I don't think it's that Trouba can't have value to this team, because obviously we don't know just how. I would say this seems like a group that has good leadership, at least right now. You don't win this consistently by being dysfunctional or having bad leadership. You don't get the reputation for coming back when down like this group has, and or scoring with the, you know, the extra attacker, or just not giving up on games without good leadership. You know what I mean? Maybe his on-ice performance has floundered at times, but that being said, we also do know he has been hurt this year, hence why he's missed time, and maybe they thought it's time to finally for him to get healthy. So who knows? He might look like a new man, because he had some stints this earlier in the season where he looked really good, and then it just kind of fell off the rails for him a little bit in the, you know, in the middle months of the year. Clearly something's been nagging him, so maybe he'll be great. But, you know, it's just tough, because like you said, it's just one of those things where playing him as a shutdown defenseman with Keandre is just not setting the team and him up for success. So, you know, hopefully if he does come back, it's in a more sheltered role. And I mean, just thinking, looking long term, you look at the success that the team has had recently with letting the young guys, you know, namely Keandre, Adam Fox, and Braden Schneider just take the reins, and they're killing it right now. You know what I mean? I mean, to just know that the Rangers have been able to develop such an effective back end has been huge. I mean, honestly, if you asked us last season, how are the Rangers doing at developing their prospects? You and I would have given them a big fat fucking F, honestly, if I'm being honest. And now between, you know, the Gabe Perreault pick, how Othman's doing in the first AHL year, how Brett Berard's doing, how Adam Sikora is doing, how far, you know, just how the strides that Lafreniere's made and then the strides the D-men on the back end have made, your tune's a lot different now because it's finally, the Rangers are finally starting to show that they can be patient and they can develop picks and prospects and to take spots on this team, like between Cooley and Rempe. And, you know, it's just, it's an awesome time to be a Rangers fan because all of a sudden you know, there's a lot of doom and gloom. They say, well, after if the Panarin, you know, or if the Kreider Zibanejad leadership group doesn't get it done, then it's over. I'm starting to think that might not be the case. Cause if anything, I'm thinking, well, we've seen such good things from the, you know, you have so many foundational pieces now that are young that all of a sudden you kind of maybe take a Dallas Stars approach where it's like, well, if they get rid of a veteran contract or two, and then they're able to because they're the New York Rangers, attract another high priced, but yet younger free agent. And then whatever, they get lucky. Perreault comes in and is instantly an impact player, or Othman or whoever, or, you know, it's that they can be a competitive team after that, this next core. So that gives me hope for the future. I don't know how we got here just by talking about Trouba, but I think TLDR, the kids have stepped up. And your younger D-men have stepped up. So give them the keys. The time is now.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more with you. You're more excited to get like the Panarin contract, you know, over with, even though obviously he's having, you know, maybe his best season so far as a New York Ranger. And, you know, it's just like, you know, me as a New York Ranger fan, I've never been this excited about all our prospects all at once, because you know you almost, I don't want to word this in a way that, you know, would get me in trouble, but like when a player goes down, you're almost excited because you want to see, you know, who's going to step up and how they're going to be and how they're going to play, and you know, whether it's, you know, the two tall, you know, whether it's Rempe and Edstrom, the two tall guys, you know, and it's like, man, I wish Barclay Goodrow was off this team so we can get, you know, see what maybe an Othman has, or you know, there's so many possibilities for the future with the New York Rangers that aspect of everything is very exciting. And, you know, and I think if you look at the job Drury has done this offseason, not this offseason, this, you know, trade deadline, you know, you got to tip the cap because he fixed this team without basically giving up nothing. I mean, a couple draft picks, but I think, you know, looking at the makeup of this team, he got a guy that, you know, really brings out the best in, you know, the top line, or quote unquote the top line, with Miga and Kreider and now Roslovic. And then you get a guy that's like so defensively responsible and actually really smart with the puck and, you know, can skate, and, you know, Alex Wenberg. And you look at that and man, that really shores up the first three lines. And I think that's, you know, one of the Rangers, you know, benefits of having all this depth and, you know, not giving up a Kako on a big deal, you know, trade. It's just like, no, we got the depth now. We got the players. We already had the all-star players. And I've been preaching this for years. It's like, listen, if our all-star players play like all-stars, there's not many teams in a league that will beat us because we really do have some great weapons. You know, it's just a matter of them playing, you know, their game, and they have to play their game come playoff time. So, you know, and it may be foolish optimism, but I do feel like going into this playoffs, it's a just different vibe than it was last year. Even a different vibe than it was 2 years ago, because I almost felt like we were playing with house money 2 years ago. Whereas last year, you had expectations and we brought in big names and, you know, we kind of got crushed. You know, this time around, I feel like, you know, the sky's the limit with this team because we just have so many players that are capable that I think we get the job done.
We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook,
an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NEW-YORK or text HOPE-NEW-YORK 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for a gambling problem by calling 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. The NHL and NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved.
Andy, I guess my next question for you is that, you know, looking at some of the new opponents that are popping up in this, you know, in the standings, you know, one of them being Washington, you know, what are your thoughts if that's a potential matchup?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think what our last podcast we were talking about, because everyone's been saying like, oh, the Rangers don't want to pull the Lightning. And we basically said, well, obviously, that's a dangerous way of thinking. You just have to play the schedule. But now it's looking like the Rangers can win the East. I mean, them beating the Bruins was absolutely huge.
Yep.
It was their biggest, you know, so now they're a point ahead with a game in hand on Boston. And you, as I've illustrated just a few minutes ago, their upcoming schedule is not so bad. They basically were in the toughest part. Obviously, they have the Colorado Avalanche, which is going to be a tough game for them. But they had the toughest part of their schedule, and they were able to get more wins than losses out of it, which was huge for them. You know, for them to essentially go into a block of games against the Bruins, the Jets, the Panthers, and to get two out of, you know, three wins is huge. And now they, like I said, yeah, they have the Avalanche, but then they have the Flyers, Coyotes, Penguins, Devils, Red Wings, Canadiens, Islanders, Flyers, Islanders, Senators. Most of those teams are not going to make the playoffs. Obviously, you have to be careful because you know the Rangers are going to be resting, but it's like there is the path forward is to win the East is there, right? Those teams, most of them are not making the playoffs. So, you know, yes, it'll be the last hockey they play, but at the same time, the Rangers will probably be seeing it as a tune-up, and a lot of those teams will be seeing it as, just get me on the golf course already. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I do think you have to worry about that final game versus the Senators, because they're going to want to, there's going to be a lot of, oh, we need to set the tone for next year, and especially that final game versus the Islanders. But that being said, all of a sudden, you're looking at the way things are going right now, and you're like, there's a strong possibility you draw either, I guess it could technically be the Flyers, I guess, if they fall out, but, you know, you could draw either the Red Wings, the Capitals, or the Flyers in the first round, which would be obviously advantageous if you're the Rangers, because all three of those teams are not good. But that being said, we've learned before that it's, you know, you get in the playoffs and then the new season starts. Doesn't matter what you did in the regular season. And all it takes is a goaltender getting hot and a team playing with a chip on its shoulder and a team underestimating their opponent. And then it could be over. You could be bounced in the first round. But I mean, it would be awesome to play either of those teams, either the Detroit Red Wings or the Capitals. I would rather play the Capitals, whereas Detroit, unfortunately, they, for all their porous defensive plays and all their, they can score and they can get hot and score in bunches if they get hot. So they scare me a little bit more than Washington, but yeah, I mean, it would be awesome to play. Although I will say I do, in terms of goaltending, I fear Charlie Lindgren more so than, I don't even know who the Red Wings goalie is right now. I know Ville Husso is one of them, and I know he's had a horrible season, but
yeah, I don't even know who Husso would be.
Well, I know Kemper has also had a shit season for the Capitals. As good as Lindgren's been. I know Darcy Kemper's been as shitty for the, you know, for the Capitals.
Yeah, I mean, they've been good lately, though. It's like weird. All these teams I'm like so afraid of because they're just beating everybody. Like, it just seems like Washington just shot up the standings immediately. I mean, granted, you know, Detroit's been in a free fall. The Islanders have given up, it seems like, on the season. The Devils are just remaining at 500 and refuse to actually play above 500 hockey, because if the Devils just played like 650 hockey, you know, which is probably not that difficult to do, you know, they probably are in the playoffs. Like, as sad as that is.
Can I ask you a question? Why did the Winnipeg Jets play like such a good game against the Rangers and then decided to suck and lose against everyone else from here on out? Why?
Well, they had played against the Devils, so the Devils got a win against the backup. And then I have Hellebuck in fantasy, and I really needed him to just reel it in and not give up more than three goals.
He lost 3-0 in the one. Well, did he play today, though, or was that?
Yeah, he played today because he got pulled yesterday.
He gave looked up unbeatable five against goals the Rangers.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
It's just.
You do have to wonder if they ran him into the ground this season, though, which is always a possibility.
It's just, he looked great against the Rangers, though.
He looked amazing. And then he looked like shit against the Islanders and the Devils, who both kind of suck.
I think they probably came in thinking we need to beat the Rangers, and then they were allowed to fuck off.
It was house money from there on out.
Yeah, they were ready to just, they could fuck off. Because where they are in the standings, like, no one's going to catch them, really. Like, they could catch Dallas, but I don't know. They've lost three in a row. Dallas has won three in a row. It just seems like they're not catching Dallas or Colorado, and they're stuck in the third spot because, I don't know. I guess they could be caught, but that's just not realistic. Yeah, I don't know. I think they beat the Rangers, and they thought they were hot shit, and the Devils beat their backup, and then they weren't ready to play the Islanders, who are desperate. So, I don't know. It's just so typical that the Rangers had that happen to them. But here we are, you know. You know, we bounce back. That's what we do. The one thing, though, I do want to ask you, Andy, because you look at the standings and you look at where the New York Rangers are, and I know this has been brought up, but the Rangers have 47 wins as opposed to Boston's 41, and there's one point, you know, difference. Now, if you look at regulation wins, 38 for the Rangers, 32 for Boston. What are your thoughts with how the point system works in the NHL right now?
Yeah, it's clearly deeply flawed. I mean, look no further than, you know, the teams like the Capitals or the Islanders being sniffing distance of a wild card spot. I mean, the Islanders are, well, they lost again today because they suck. But, you know, they're only, what, 3 or 4 points out? And yet in their, what are the Islanders, 30, 25, and 15? Like,
yeah, they're 4 points out with five less wins than the team in front of them. Which is kind of...
The Devils only have 72 points, but they're 34, 33, and 4.
Right.
Or like they won today, so that would be 35, 33, and 4. But, sorry, I'm looking at yesterday's schedule. But, yeah, it's just, it's ridiculous. I mean, they really need to go to the 3-2-1 system. I think everyone's been clamoring for it forever, and just it just makes all the sense in the world. Nothing could be illustrated more by the ineptitude that we're seeing in the Eastern wildcard race, where literally right now the Vegas Golden Knights and the Nashville Predators are in the wild card in the West. That's how good the West is right now. The hottest team in the NHL and the defending Stanley Cup champion. You know, I don't know if a lot has been made about the fact that Vegas has 80 is on in the last wild card spot, and the St. Louis Blues are, yes, they have a game in hand and they're technically ahead by four, but they're only 4 points ahead with a game in, you know, with one game in hand. That's, I don't think St. Louis is going to make the playoffs, but there is a reality where that happens, you know. Not to segue here, but that being said, it just, you look at how formidable all the teams hanging on to wildcard spots in the West is, and then you look at literally for that last wildcard spot, just the Islanders, the Devils, the Capitals, and the Red Wings just literally winning a game, losing a game, winning a game, losing two games, winning maybe a game or two, then losing another two or three. You know, winning four games in a row, losing four in a row. It's just, and yet they're in wild card. They're, you know, they're in a playoff position.
Well, look at this. The Vegas have the Blues coming up, Andy, which is a huge game.
That's a huge game for St. Louis.
And then they immediately play the Predators, which is another huge game for
them.
And then they play the Jets, which is, you know, another huge game for them. And then they have to play the Minnesota Wild to close out the month of March.
Jesus Christ. And while you're pulling that up, here's St. Louis's next few games. Ready? They got Vegas tomorrow, huge game. Then they got Calgary. Okay. Then they got the Sharks. So that could be a free win. Then they got the Oilers. I don't know. The Oilers are kind of down recently, but it could go either way. Then you got the Predators, sucks. Then you have the Sharks again. Then you have the Ducks. Then they have the Blackhawks. So you have three super winnable games. Then you got the Hurricanes, which could be tough, but they could be resting some people. Then you have the Kraken, which is a winnable game. And then you have the Stars, which is either a loss or a crapshoot. So just saying.
And Vegas is Vegas's final
month,
April. You have the Canucks. Then you have to play the Coyotes.
Okay. Easy.
Then you have the Canucks again.
That's tough.
Then you have the Oilers.
Okay.
Then you got the Wild.
Crapshoot.
Avalanche.
Tough.
And then you finish with Blackhawks and Ducks.
Easy. Okay. I'm just saying. It's not out of the realm of possibility for St. Louis to see the light at the end of the tunnel and say, you know what, we've been saving it all season. Let's play our best hockey and to get in. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I just don't see a world in which that happens, but
same. But I'm a hater and I love to see shit like that happen. So,
yeah, I mean, they didn't deserve a Stanley Cup so quickly. You know, just they didn't have to go through any troubles. They have been good from the very beginning. They got their Stanley Cup. It's like, you know, I would love to see them have a collapse. They're due now. You know, you got to take the good with the bad. You know, and they're kind of, you know, they're spoiled, you know, they're spoiled. And I do enjoy and I root very hard for the Nashville Predators because there is nothing better than hearing Devil fans talk about how they, you know, they had Brunette as their coach and it could have happened, but it didn't. And now he's with Nashville and I wish him nothing but all the success in the world. Oh, and just so happens that one of their management includes Mr. Trotz, who was associated with the New York Islanders, and, you know, they, you know, relieved him of duties. So I wish nothing but the best for the Nashville Predators. It's just such a shame that those two guys were, even though I know the Trotz thing was probably, he was looking for more of a management role than a head coaching role, but it's just still so sweet to watch that team blossom into what they are with, you know, former coaches of our rivals. So I just want to give the Nashville Predators their due and a shout out there. So winning, they won five in a row. They're 8-0-2 in their last 10. They're an unbelievable team right now. And did you hear what turned them around, Andy?
Yeah, absolutely. They had tickets to go, or they were supposed to go see U2 at the Sphere. And their coach said, "You've been playing like dog shit. We're not going to see Bono and the Edge at the Sphere." And they've been on an insane heater ever since. So, I guess they really were looking forward to that trip. And it was a big wake up call for them that it was like, oh yes, we will not have nice things in life if we don't play well. And they said, you know, never mind. We're going to actually give a shit now and have gone on an insane heater. And it's weird because I would say their lineup is like probably the biggest on paper. It's hard to know. It's one of those things that you could see it either or, but I mean, they're obviously they're clearly a on paper. They clearly, even coming into the season, they clearly looked like a playoff team. They just got off to a tough start. And I think everyone, and also I think no one really knew what to make of their bottom six, which didn't help, but they've obviously with between additions throughout this year and just players like, you know, Tommy Novak and Evangelista coming into their own. I mean, you know, and obviously they brought in guys like Jason Zucker and stuff. They got Beauvillier, but yeah, I mean, they have a pretty formidable lineup. If you look, they're just, I don't think they have any other than Yossi. You can argue they don't have a single like game breaking talent on their lineup, but they're literally just solid. Like Forsberg, when he wants, actually, that's not true. When Forsberg wants to, he can be a game breaking forward.
Yeah, but he's good.
But you got Ryan O'Reilly, who is like one of the most competitive, hard to play against centers in the NHL. You know, Yossi, Shen, McDonough, and Barry is a pretty good top four. You have Yossi and McDonough and Shen kind of holding it down. And then you have Barry and Yossi doing the offensive work for them. And then, you know, and I don't know who the hell Mark Delgazzo is. He's there. I'm sure he's a probably awesome, like third pairing young guy. And Alexander Carrier is fine. He's a good, you know.
They're loaded down the middle, though.
I mean, they're loaded down. That's the thing, though. Yeah, I mean,
if Gustav Nyquist, Ryan O'Reilly, Tommy Novak, Colton Sissons,
like, and McCarron's not a bad fourth line guy either.
Yeah, like they're just, their depth is really good.
Yeah, they're a deep team. They're like, their highs are not as insanely high as some of the other teams around the league, but they're just literally not weak in any one position, you know.
And they had a lot of injuries, I think, early on in the season, so they couldn't get a lot going. You know, I have Roman Yossi on my fantasy team, so another team that I pay very close attention to, especially recently, because he's just been on fire. It's unbelievable. If he had this type of season, what he's been doing in the last, like, 15 games, if he was able to do, like, half that earlier in the season, I think he would probably be number one in points for sure over Quinn Hughes, but probably the odds-on favorite to be the Norris Trophy winner, because he is red hot right now. So shout out to Yossi. You got anything else, Andy?
Yeah, I mean, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't congratulate Gabe Perreault and the BC Eagles on winning the Hockey East the other day.
Yes.
I mean, Perreault missed, what, six games with some sort of upper body injury. But so, and it was looking, yeah, it was, you know, it's unfortunate because he was leading literally the NCAA in points before he went down. And then in his absence, his line mate, Will Smith, was able to take over. But again, doesn't really matter. He's already he's going to be a Ranger no matter what. It sucks because it probably knocked him out of Hobie Baker consideration, which he would have been at least a lock for if he didn't miss any time. But he's played two games since returning from injury, James. He's got 3 goals, 4 assists for 7 points in two games. Jesus. So he just picked up right where he left off, dropping insane dimes, scoring heady goals, and yeah, just looking like amazing. It's just that team. I don't know if I've ever seen a more dominant college team in college hockey history, at least as much college hockey as I've watched. You know, I know there's some good teams up there, but I don't know if there's a team that is that as stacked as BC is this season. I mean, you know, obviously the big ones are Cutter Gauthier, and then the kids, you know, Will Smith, San Jose Sharks prospect, Ryan Leonard, Capitals prospect, and Gabe Perreault, Rangers prospect. But also Drew Fortescue is a Rangers prospect on that team. They're just deep throughout their lineup. It's pretty nuts. And, you know, they're coached by Greg Brown, who you'll remember was one of David Quinn's assistants here in New York. So they're just all insanely talented. And Macklin Celebrini, who's going to go first overall, BC took down BU in the final. They're, you know, he couldn't do it all himself, just too much. They were overwhelmed by talent, and Gabe's a huge part of that. And God, I just can't wait to see him in the blue, white, and red. You know, he's probably going to go back for another year just because he just does need to get physically stronger. It's just the long and the short of it. But it's just his instincts are off the chain. His playmaking's off the chain. His vision's off the chain. And he's just the type of kid who's just too gosh darn smart to not be effective. You know what I mean? Even if he becomes like a, I don't know, like he just... Yeah, he's just makes plays before anyone else knows it's off his stick. You know what I mean? He just gets it, and then he passes the puck before he looks at the guy he's passing the puck to. That's the only way I can really describe it. So kudos to him. Congratulations to him and BC on winning the Hockey East. Happy that he's healthy and showing everyone just, you know, how much of a baller he is.
Thank you for listening to the Broadway Voice Podcast. Be sure to follow us on X at Broadway Voice Pod, and please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, SoundCloud, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.